God has a dream for me. If I will let it be, God has a dream for me. If I only listen, listen, when God has a dream for me, it lets me be. If I open my heart, when old dreams fade and die, and my heart cries why, oh why, God finds a new dream for me. If I open my heart, my mind, my hand, when life is dark and as I go my own way, God has a plan for me, a special design for me. God has a plan for me. If I only listen, listen, God shows His plan to me. Asks me if I'll agree, make His dream reality, being all I can be. When old dreams fade and die, and my heart cries why, oh why, God finds a new dream for me. If I open my heart, my mind, my hand, when life is dark and gray, and off the pathway I stray, God stays beside me each day as I go my own way. God stays beside me each day.
Yes, indeed, God does have a dream for you and a dream for me. The CD was performed by a Canadian duo, Off the Hook. Kevin and Cheryl did me the honor of making this recording of a song I wrote a few years ago. If you would like the copy of God Has a Dream for Me, just go to the website www.innergarden.com. Welcome to Inner Garden Online Chapel. This is Reverend Barbara Leonard, and I'd like to say that this is the day that God has given us. Let us rejoice and be glad that we are in it. Practicing Christianity and spiritualism allows us to embrace and serve an interdenominational congregation. Our mission is to help each and every one of you honor God in your own way by being everything that you can be. We want everyone to know that all spiritual roads lead to the one God. The name of the one God may differ, but a rose by any other name is still a rose, so God by any name is still the same God, a God of love, a source of life, through whom we can celebrate our uniqueness and our oneness with all of creation.
Well, this really is a wonderful day that we have, and Barbara Leonard here, just liking to thank everybody who's been doing prayers for my son, and he's back on his feet. He'll be back to work next week, and his heart seems to be ticking really well. So thank you for all the prayers, and also I'd like to tell the people right at the beginning that we do take calls in about the last half hour, so if you want to call in, then we can either give you a complimentary reading, or you can ask something about the show, or whatever you like to do. We usually do have a little church service ahead of it, and most people have been enjoying that. We have had a lot of requests about the different sermons that we have done, especially to do with the Glad We're In Our, You're In My Dash, which was done, I believe, January the 7th, and also Our Best Christmas Ever. Shows like that will be on the archives, and you can go to bbsradio.com, and for $2 a month or $24 a year, be able to access everybody's archives, and if you really want to hear some of those, then you come back. I'm going to do the opening prayer, then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to give you the phone numbers, but please hold back till after the sermon to give us a call, okay? Now, Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we're allowed to come and join with you here. We ask that you allow us to pray and get healing for all the people in the world, whether it's their hungry in body, mind, or spirit, that we give shelter to those who are in need when we are asked, and if we know of a need, that we are there as an angel on earth plane to help people that are there for us. We want to ask that we are taught to have compassion towards those people who may be experiencing challenges of any kind. We are a family, we know, God, both in a spiritual family and in an earthly family, and help us to live together, accept the differences that we each have, and celebrate together the uniqueness that God has created in each of us. Help us to acknowledge and validate and appreciate the gifts of each member of the family, and especially, most of all, help me to express the highest and best of those gifts that you have given me so that I may honor you in the work that I serve. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit with you after the sermon and the phone numbers, so you can get all ready, get your pen. In the United States, it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-810-8322. And we'd love to hear from you, comments of the service or comments about how your spiritual life is going, and share that with us. Or maybe just ask us if we've got a little message for you, and I'll see what I can do. Now, I'm going to put the sermon on now, and just be patient with me here. Okay, so here we go, and we are going to do the sermon now. We thank you for being patient. We had a little telephone difficulty here, and here we go with the sermon, and then we will come back online and ask you to give us a call. Okay, thank you.
And I have to read a little bit about what came through online this week. And it's 10 things that God won't ask on that day. You don't know what day that is. God won't ask what kind of a car did you drive, but he may ask how many people that you drove that didn't have transportation. God won't ask what the square footage of your house is. He may ask how many people that you welcome into your home. God won't ask about the clothes that you have in your closet. He may ask, however, how many you have clothes. God won't ask what the highest salary that you have made, but he will ask if you compromised your character in any way to earn it. God won't ask what your job title was. He may ask if you performed your job to the best and the highest of your ability. God won't ask how many friends that you have. He may ask how many people to whom you were a friend. God won't ask in what neighborhood you live. He may ask, however, how did you treat your neighbors? God won't ask about the color of your skin, but he may ask about the content of your character. We'll have to ask how many people you forwarded this to or spoke this to. He already knows what your decision will be. And at the end of this, it said, I have received this from someone who thinks I am a keeper. So I am giving this to the people I think about in the same way. And that's each and every one of you here. Now it is your turn to be a keeper and send this to the keepers in your life. You don't always see them, but you know that they are always there. Keep them close. I found this a very interesting thing, and you know, what I find is even more interesting is that whenever we are put in a pathway or a thought in our mind, we will find that we'll turn on the radio or we'll turn on television or we'll phone somebody, and that topic, for some reason or other, just out of the blue, will be thrown out. And this is what a friend of mine, who's an Anglican priest, called God. It's in God's plan that this idea is supposed to come to you, and then He is going to put things on your pathway that are going to give you the opportunity to exercise these ideas that have come through. In other words, the dreams that He has for you, the ideas that He's putting forward, are going to be made available to you if you choose to take them. So it was interesting that this morning I turned on Dr. Schuller, as I normally do, and I'm busy getting ready for church and I'm listening to all the great, wonderful information that he's having. And a lot of people will find that if they leave it on that station, Joyce Meyer comes on right after that. Now, Joyce Meyer is a very powerful speaker, very spiritual lady. She doesn't call herself a minister as such, but she's a minister for God. And she talks about how her ministry has gone. And she talks about the maturity for today. The maturity that in Matthew, that it shows maturity when you're able to grow beyond certain things, when you're no longer petty, when you're no longer listening to gossip and passing on and things of that nature. But what I found was really interesting. She said in one part that she went shopping one day. And she seen this red dress, and she loved this red dress so much, but it wasn't in her size. They only had it 2 sizes bigger than her size. But for whatever reason, she just was so enthralled with this red dress that she bought this red dress regardless of the fact it was 2 sizes bigger. So that's fine. She takes home, puts it in her closet, but she, of course, can't stop there. She buys red shoes to go with it. She buys special earrings that are going to go with it. And she has them all set out. And if anybody's seen her, she is very well-presented. She looks like she could have been a model. She is so well done. So she dresses nicely, which is so, I don't think it says anywhere in the Bible that you have to dress in rags. But anyway, she takes this red dress out now and again, going to put it on, and something says they're not the right day to wear the red dress, put the red dress back in the closet. Now, the red dress has been in the closet for 3 months. And she has a lady that's working for her, doing a lot of volunteering, as we do in this church. We have many, many people that volunteer their time, and a lot of times they're not given any kind of credit. They just quietly go about their business. And she thought, you know, this lady has done so much for my group, and so much for trying to promote me and helping bringing people in and helping with the cookies and helping with this. I would love to do something for her. And God said to her in her heart, now, this is an Orthodox minister, by the way, you know, in one of these churches that don't really believe in the same things as we do in spiritualism. But in her heart, God spoke to her and said, you should get that red dress. She was, her name was Mary. You should give that red dress to Mary. What? She thought, God spoke to me and said, I should give that red dress to Mary, but it's a brand new dress. I paid $100 for that dress. I'm sure God would want me to be giving my $100 dress that's never been worn, it's brand new, to someone. So what she said is that basically God spoke to her in her heart. The reason that the dress was bought 2 sizes bigger is that Mary was 2 sizes larger. No, it's a big golf, right? So the plan was 3 months before to buy this dress so that it would be in the closet when she asked, I wonder what I could do for Mary Garth, then you can give her the dress. Because Mary can't afford to buy these type of clothing, and Mary can be very happy with this, but she talked herself out of it. How many times does God speak to our hearts and we talk ourselves out of it? And what she said from that was that she thought, no, she justified it. And that wasn't a sin against God. That wasn't a sin against Mary. It was basically, if we're going to talk about sin, it was an error of judgment against herself. She was not mature enough within her spirit to be open and generous and say, well, that must be why God got me to buy that dress 2 sizes larger. Because that's Mary's size, not my size. He must have had this planned all the way along, which may have been a bit more mature way in the spirit, spiritually mature, to look at it, but she didn't. And she said it took her a little while. That is, no one's leaving it. She said she wasn't going to tell all the pathway that she went down before she finally did give the dress to Mary, but finally she did give it to Mary. And this was a number of years ago that she gave it to her. Mary, still working with her organization, and still wearing that red dress. So obviously, Mary appreciated the red dress. Mary loved the fact that she was acknowledged, she was validated, and she was appreciated by Joyce for all the work that she's done. And how so with ourselves? How so with ourselves? How many times is it in our hearts that we don't really acknowledge maybe our husband? We don't acknowledge our best friend. They're just there. They're always there. They're like the staple part of your garden. It's like the trees and the bushes in your garden that are the mainstay of your garden. The other flowers come and go, and you kind of appreciate all the different things that come into your garden and all the different things that come into your life. And you make a big fuss over some people sometimes, but sometimes we leave out those people who really are the mainstay that keep us together. And we were downstairs before church, and again, I don't think anything happens by coincidence, and we happen to be talking about long-term relationships. And there's a young girl in White Rock that has found that if she would change it and put it together, this would make a pretty good book. And so we were talking downstairs, that we both united and interviewed on this. And what was amazing to this girl, that we'd been married 52 years in April, but that we had only seen each other 21 times before we were married. So she asked us, like, how come you could know? Well, we were 8 months and a day between the day we met and we got married, so 21 times out of that, there was a lot of times that there were long letters going back and forth, from New Westminster to Halifax, New Westminster to Squamish, whatever, back and forth. And what we did is we shared our dream. We got to communicate in a different way than if we had been together 24/7, basically, in a relationship. And a lot of people who are in a relationship that are maybe 5 or 6 months long and they get married, or 2 or 3 years long and they get married, a lot of times we're blinded by the dazzling and by the sparkle of the relationship, about the energy that we create between each other, and that tension, that sexual tension, if you want to say that, I can use that word only once, nothing. And we sometimes are blinded by our own emotions and our own desires and our own wants. And it's when we had a chance to stand back from each other and we were sharing our dreams and sharing what we thought, different concepts and different ideas. And we would write, if you can believe this, twice a day, and they would be between 12 and 34 pages long. So you can appreciate that you just didn't say 32 pages, I love you, you're great, you're wonderful. We did 32 pages of talking about what we felt about life, what our dreams were, our spiritual understanding, a whole bunch of things that went into there that we probably wouldn't have the opportunity to do. So we're being, this was all in the plan. People say, well, how come you guys have been married for this length of time? Well, I'm not going to try to kid you that we've been married for this length of time without having things to work through. And when this young girl started asking me about different things in the relationship, because she interviewed each of us separately, she didn't feel what the other guy said. So you have to be pretty truthful that the other guy can catch you up, right? You better be truthful, because otherwise it's not going to be too good when he goes in and tells a different story. So anyway, one of the things she said is, well, how did your relationship last all these years? And I said, because it just so happened that the way it was that one time I would be going through a very tough time. And Arnie would be strong and the support and pull me up out of my muck and mire and encourage me to get back on my feet. And as God would have it, maybe he would have one of those times when his energies were down and he wasn't feeling well, and it's like the body, mind, or spirit that he was a little bit down. And as God would have it, I would be on the high ground, and I would be able to say, Ozzy, you know, God has a plan for us. Come on, let's go. Let's look at something new and get some new ideas going. And I could encourage him, and I could say, you're a great guy, you know, you don't have to stay down there and beat yourself up. If you make an error of judgment, let's get back on our feet, let's get up, and we'll start again. And fortunately, that God, for the most part, had it so that it was a yin and yang. He was up, I was down. I was up, he was down. Sometimes we have a nice level field and we did really well. That's the time when God gives you kind of a harvest of your season. You can kind of enjoy that. The few times, though, that both of us hit bottom, we had a large investment in this relationship. A large investment in this relationship. We had family who had a large investment in our relationship. We also had friends that had a large investment in our relationship and cared about us and were willing to be there to help us stand once more on solid ground and not feel like we were in a sinking sand. So we can bless God for the plan that he has for us. And it doesn't matter how old you are. God always has a plan. And God always has a plan when one thing fades and dies. God always has another plan for you. There's always something more that you can go to, and you can take some of those areas of judgment, and you can build on them. And the people that you look at in your life as successful should be the people who have not necessarily had it all easy, but the people who have legitimately been able to believe that they could pull themselves up by their bootstraps and continue to go forward. And I can tell you, I'm standing here today and I gave a hug to a lady that I've been a friend with since 1980, and we used to be in 2D together, did we not, Norma? And I can honestly tell you that Norma's been down, and Norma's been up, and Norma's been down, and Norma's been up, and down and up, and it doesn't matter how many times you down, pick up the new dream that God has for and go forward. As long as you have down. And maybe, just maybe, that's the reason that we have had those downtime. It's so that we would have the choice to be able to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. And when somebody comes to Norma, somebody comes to Jamie, comes in to see me for counseling, that we've been there, done that, and got the t-shirt, babe. We know what we're talking about. We're not standing there with a silver spoon in our mouth telling us a story that you should be able to pick yourself up and dust yourself off and go on. We have lived it as being here. As a number of you out here have. And sometimes it's been a spiritual devastation. Something's happened to you and you've kind of lost your hold on spirit. on the belief in God. By whatever name you call that God, it's a different pathway to being set for each and every one of us. Maybe you think pathway. But by whatever name, maybe you've been disappointed in the church that you went to. Maybe you've been disappointed by the people in the church. It's not God that disappointed you, it's the people. It's the church that disappointed you. So don't give up on God so easily, because God has a reason for why He's moved you on. And so you pick up the pieces and you say, okay, I move on. There is nobody starts out with a plan to fail. I don't think so. I mean, it has to be pretty straight copy if you start out with a plan to fail. But there's a lot of times we do make errors of judgment. Those errors of judgment are part of our human inability, shall we say, to be able to see past our want sometimes. Because there's a lot of difference between the need and the want. And a lot of times what I need, just as Joyce Meyer needed to give that dress to that lady in God's eyes, that was going to do her a lot more good, because she's going to be able to get a good feeling out of being able to acknowledge this woman and validate her and be able to appreciate her. But it took a little while for her within herself to say, that's not what I want to do, God. I don't really want to do this. A lot of us will get that in our life. We won't necessarily want to do what God wants us to do. We'll do what we want, and rather than what is needed in our life. Because you can bet your boots, what you need in life is what God is giving you. If it is a case of having to pull up your bootstraps and start over, that's something you need to do. Because the wants will always follow needs. As long as you don't stand strong in the want. And like Joyce Meyer, I can remember a very young Barbara, about 4 years old, my mother knit me. She very seldom knit, by the way, but she knit me the most beautiful red dress, had Angora white wool around the neck, and, you know, back in the 50s, 30s. And so when it came time for that dress to get up to here, my mother said, you should give it to your cousin. I drew a temper tantrum, not my normal state. I was not normally that type of kid, but I laid on the floor and drew a temper tantrum that I did not want my mother to give that dress away. If when I'm older, 20 years later in the 50s, and 20 years later in the 70s, and 20 years later in the 90s, and 20 years later in 110-something, I'm still saying, I will not give up something that's no longer needed for me, God, and go on to grow into something better. Then I have not matured spiritually. And I ask you today, be a mature spirit. Whatever comes into your life, look at it, and then stop and listen to God, and say, God, what do you want me to do here? What is your plan? And listen, because you do get answers, regardless of people say, well, I'm not clairvoyant, but you know what? You have an inner voice. That inner voice is God. And thank you.
Well, thank you for listening to the sermon. We take that at a church called First United Spiritualist Church in Burnaby, British Columbia. And there are a lot of spiritual churches out there that would just welcome you in. And if you don't have one in your area, then go to whatever group that there may be that is developing the awareness. And you can always get online here and listen to different programs. Remember that anything that is given to you, whether it be from me or from someone else, you need to bring it through your own ethical or your own spiritual self. And see what is good for you and take that from that and use your intellect and use all that God has given you to go forward. And if it doesn't sit well with you, don't say it's garbage. Just set it back on a back burner, and maybe it will never be useful, and maybe it'll be useful some other time. So we'd like to thank you now, and we're going to give you the numbers again to phone in if you'd like to phone us. It's in the United States, 877-876-5227. Our Canadian brothers and sisters up here, 888-810-8322. And the direct international line is 530-876-3222. I was listening to some of the other people online, and I'm just surprised at the places that we do reach. And I had a call last week myself from a lady in Arizona, and I thank her for calling in. It was a very interesting conversation about her spiritual journey, and then I was able to give her a little complimentary reading of an insight that I was getting, an intuition that I was getting, a message from God to help her, and she felt that it was very helpful. So again, if any of you out there are wanting to talk to me, then just call one of those numbers. I'd like to thank some of our congregation that listen to us every Sunday that are in our local area, and that Lois, who has Astral Connections and an internet cafe and gift shop. She has a lot of crystals and a lot of things down there. She also gives classes, which I will be running a class from there near the end of February, and that will be kind of fun, a six-week course. And there will be courses starting at the Knight School in New Westminster, actually on the 1st of February. So go to my website, www.innergarden.com, and maybe if you're in our local area, you'll find something there in the courses that'll be good for you. And if not, if you want to contact us at chapel@innergarden.com, we will certainly look into referring people in your area, or maybe we will be able to set up some kind of correspondence course or some kind of chit-chat on the internet. So we have all kinds of things with the internet out there now. Also, Dawn is offering, as I said, the archives so that you can go in there and hear the shows if for some reason that you miss it or unable to get there, because in BC, this is a time that people are actually in our churches here, so they don't get to hear us direct, and so they can tune in later to do that. Last week, too, we were talking a lot about the different things that we can do to help ourselves, and through the grace of God, a lot of times we go through tough times, and you know, there is a saying that the young Dr. Shuler says is that tough times do happen to good people, but you know, that doesn't give us a guarantee from God, because we live a good life that we won't have tough times, and that we won't go through some tough times. And it also won't guarantee us that people always treat us with the respect and with the honor that we should be treated. But we have to realize that all of these things are lessons that help us, and how we handle these things and how we go through them may be just something that's going to give us a tool to make our future better. And the interesting thing that I happened to listen to before this program came on, I was listening a little bit to Michael's program, and a lady was talking about healing, and that she really wants to develop her ability to do absent healing or distant healing, whatever name you want to put on it. And here's a little insight from an older lady who's 72 years old and has been working in this since I was 17. And this is my little secret. We are not the healer, which we all know. The healing comes from God. So when we put a thought up to the universal God, by whatever name you call it, and in some cases they call it the source. So we send a thought to the source, and when it gets to the source, it already starts manifesting what we are intending it to be. So it's like shooting an arrow at a target. If I intend it to hit a certain target, that's where it'll go. And the interesting thing with thought is that in the Bible it says, where more two or more are gathered in my name, there am I, meaning that the energy of the healing that Jesus had will come through and be able to take care of whatever that challenge might be that's out there. So when you and a number of other people get a prayer chain going, as they did for my son, a lot of the groups here, all the people on the internet that I was talking to, people out here on the show, they all connected and they all sent a prayer, and they didn't even need to know his name. Now, it's interesting, because if I phoned you up and I said to you, you know, I need a healing prayer for my son, Ken. And then later you forgot what my son's name is. You just immediately have sent that thought the minute that you said, yes, I'll put him on my prayer list. And you really put the energy in of taking that time, maybe 5 minutes before you go to sleep at night, and renew all of that thought and have that energy come through and go through to the people that are on your prayer list. You don't have to read each one individually. It will happen. Now, the interesting thing is that we need to take it through us and not of us. So when we're dealing with healing, particularly, if we're going to want healing for somebody else, we really love them, we really care about them, and whether it is an emotional healing, whether it's a healing of body, whatever it is, what we need to do is to look at that person and bring the energy through us and not get into a sympathetic place where we take the problem on and then they go home and we worry that problem. Oh, how am I going to help him? What am I going to do? And it might be one of your children, it might be your parent, whatever. We get into the worry of it and we use our own energy. Although the person that you have said, I love you and I care about you and I want to help you, will get healing and go home feeling better, they would be a lot better, and so would you, if we bring it through ourselves from basically think about linking to that universal source at the top of your head and bringing it through your body and pushing it towards them through your hands. So instead of saying, oh, you poor thing, sit down, I'll help you, say, oh, come on in, just have a seat, and kind of put the energy as if you're kind of patting them rather than pulling that energy towards you, and say, just have a seat and we'll try to see what we can do with a little help from God here. And just the thought yourself that you're pulling that energy from a source outside yourself that is unlimited. Now, the other thing that the lady did mention on there was that she wants to heal herself or get herself healed because she wants to be able to be a better healer. Well, the interesting thing is that when you are bringing this universal energy that is unlimited through your body and giving that energy to somebody else to help them heal themselves, because that's exactly what you are, as a channel or a vessel through which things are coming. So when you do that, what you actually are doing is bringing this universal energy of white light through you, which reflects in your body at whatever rate of speed, and in the colors, as we talk about colors of the aura, represent certain things. Might be some emotional thing going on, and so it'll draw into the solar plexus the color yellow, and it will pull in there that sympathetic color. Now, the beauty of this is the unlimited amount of energy that's coming through heals you on the way through, and also is being passed through to the people that you may be laying hands on, or that you may be having a thought of, as I have cousins in Ontario, I have a cousin down in California, and when they have been going through difficult times, I pray to God, and that energy there, as quickly as it passes in the thought of my mind, that energy is taken to them to help them with whatever is their need at the particular time. And like all people, we all have sometimes challenges that we need help for. So one of the reasons that we work as counselors and that we work in this work, the people who are healers work possibly with hands on and saying to you, we are drawing that energy through ourselves to help you help yourself. In other words, help you heal yourself. And like a battery for somebody's car who's run down, give you a little bit of start so that you can start drawing that energy in for yourself. So you really don't need the healer being with you side by side all the time. You just need that link with God, and that healing will continue to come, and it will come quicker. You'll find that if you have a surgery or anything goes on in your life that mentally or whatever, that you need some help and there's a challenge there, that it will increase the ability for that area to heal the more people that are actually sending that energy through themselves to you, because it multiplies basically
10 times for each person that puts a prayer up. So if I put a prayer up, then somebody else puts a prayer up for every person. It's like to the 10th degree each time. And so that's an interesting thing with healing, is that you don't really have to go through any great education to have that happen. In one of the talks that I did a few weeks back, I talked about the first time that I ever, I didn't even at that time recognize that it was healing, but the first time that I ever experienced being a vessel for healing, and how I was at an accident and a man had been hurt quite badly, and I placed my hands on him, not even knowing that that was what was supposed to be done. I just put my hand so he could touch my hand and see that it was wet and that he wasn't bleeding, that it was raining. And then I brushed his wet curl back from his forehead by impression. A thought just went through my mind. Push his curls back from his forehead where the water was dripping down and his curls were wet. And at that time, this overpowering energy that came through my body just absolutely mystified me to what this energy was. And so that was one of the catalysts that got me to start investigating something more than just the phenomena that goes on, because I was a reader at the age of 17. I had the ability to be able to tune into other people and be able to give them information about themselves. But as far as to why it worked, I did not have that knowledge. And knowledge is helpful to you, because then you start realizing that this is coming from God. It doesn't take any great education, but it's good to be able to help people who maybe have a bit of doubt to be able to go ahead. Now, again, I talk a little bit about the classes that I do, and if you are in an area that are giving classes of any kind, it is good for you to go to people of good reputation. And this is important when I say of good reputation. Word of mouth, whether you're getting readings or whether you're getting education, word of mouth is the best thing that you can do. And if you know somebody who has taken courses, make sure that you talk to them about what type of person this was, what kind of ethical ideas do they have, what kind of knowledge do they have, and where are they coming from in these courses. So, because first of all, you don't want to go in and be taught a lot of superstition and a lot of things that we've spent the last 50 years trying to get through the quantum physics and realize that there is an actual scientific reason to why we're able to do this, why we're able to link with that part of ourselves that links to the seat of soul and links to God and to the source. So what you need to do is be very wise about who you're taking courses with. The other thing is to be very discerning within yourself. If you take something because it's written in a book, because you go and buy somebody's book and it says this has to be this way, doesn't mean that it has to be that way. Use your own intellect a little bit, discern for yourself and test it out. And then when it works for you, if it works for you, then adopt that concept. But don't just read everything and just take it verbatim because somebody said that. And I tell my students, you know, my husband's father had a saying that there is never paper that will refuse ink. So the paper and the pen can't discern what is being put down there. That's up to you to do and see how it fits within your personal growth. I think we have somebody online, so how are you today?
I am doing just fine, thank you. And you?
I'm having a great time.
Fantastic.
Oh, Kathy.
Reason why I'm calling is just to see if you might have
a message for you.
Uh-huh.
I will certainly go that direction for you. And what I'm looking at is that there is something that you're looking towards right now that looks very promising. And I feel that you want to put a lot of yourself into this. And you have to remember that, for instance, if I were to get engaged, that doesn't mean I am married. Do you understand?
Uh-huh.
So
when you take an idea and you say, okay, I accept this idea, before it really becomes concrete, you have to put the time and energy and money behind that, or the commitment behind it. Do you understand?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that's what I'm feeling around you right now, that there is a need, that you've got a very promising future going on right now, and that you need to take the time to put the time and energy and money at what you've been watching over a period of time. It's like you've been sitting back watching something, having ideas in the back of your mind, but maybe not just stepping forward. The interesting thing with that is this, that part of that is there's two reasons. One is that this will bring you some kind of, and now I don't want to mistake to think that you're actually going to get a badge of merit. Do you understand?
Uh-huh.
But it's going to make you feel as if you have been rewarded and that you have something there that you've accomplished, and it, you will be able to look at that and take credit within yourself. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, the other thing is that with this energy that I'm seeing here, it also tells me this is something that you need in your life. And I don't want to tell you there's something wrong with this. There is nothing wrong with if you want to have your name up in lights and be successful, as long as we don't climb on anybody else's back to get it. Do you understand what I mean?
Yes, I do.
And so you have a right to use your talents and your abilities to the very best that you can. And to some degree, there are people, and I happen to be one of them as well, and there's nothing wrong with this, that feel that they need to have something that actually other people can see and can associate with you and give you credit for it. Do you understand?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, part of that comes from the fact that you need to make sure that when you're in relationships that you have expectation and that you don't go in there always as just the giver.
Okay.
Okay. And so whatever it is, a working relationship or whatever, you kind of have a job description if you're on a job, what the boss wants. So when you're in a one-to-one relationship, it's good to have expectation of the other person. In other words, what I can expect from this relationship.
Uh-huh.
And that isn't conditional. A lot of people say, oh, I'm supposed to love him unconditionally. Do you understand?
Right.
Yeah. Unconditional love does not mean you lay on the ground and let the person walk on you like a doormat.
Okay. Okay.
You have very promising relationships in business and personal relationships, but you're at a point right now where you need to value who you are and get your own talents so that you have something concrete that you can look at and say, yes, that's what I do, and the people can recognize that. But also in relationships, make sure that you have expectation that if you and I are really close friends, yes, you're going to treat me with love and respect, and you're going to be kind to me and bring me things when you want to appreciate me, but you have to realize an expectation from that person to do the same back and be a graceful receiver, because you've had a hard time receiving things in your life.
Yeah.
Is that true? And it's hard. Like if I were your friend and I came over and I said, okay, I bring you something really nice, and you say, I shouldn't. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
You say, oh, you shouldn't have done that, Barbara. Yes, I should have done that because it gives me joy. You should receive it gracefully because it does give me joy and it doesn't take anything away from the gift I'm giving you. I wanted to express your validation, your awe, as I call it. Acknowledge you, validate you, and appreciate you. And if you tell me, you know, kind of give me the impression that you're going to make me feel awkward and you're going to feel awkward if I give you something, I'm not going to be able to do that. And your teapot's going to be empty because nobody's been giving you back the investment that you're putting out there. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. And I think this is a changing year for you. I think this year you're going to start realizing that, in, you know, the Bible, and we were brought up on this, it's better to give than receive. Well, I think it was misquoted. I think it says good to give as receive. And so we need to be graceful receivers because the ground receives the corn seed, and God helps it grow, and we get if you can believe, from one kernel or one cob of corn, something close to 600 kernels. So God's law says we're supposed to flourish when we give something good. And you haven't really always had that happen, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Is there any particular question that you'd like to ask?
Yeah, I would like to know if the pain in my body is ever going to go away.
Not if you keep embracing it.
Okay.
Okay. This is another thing. A lot of times we acknowledge the pain, so it becomes something. It's part of us. What you need to really do is make your body happy. And so to make your body happy, your spirit and your mental attitude has to be happy. And I think if you start manifesting the healing rather than manifesting the pain, like it's like I tell my classes, subconscious mind is very powerful. It can even believe a lie, and it will manifest it in the body. But if you say to yourself, I got a headache, and then 15 minutes later say, oh, God, I've got a headache, your subconscious mind sends more headache out because that's what you've sent down.
Okay.
But if somebody says to you, how are you feeling today? Was it Kathy was your name? What was your name, hon?
Just Nancy.
Okay. If I said to you, how are you feeling today? And you say, oh, I've got so much pain, right? And so that you're manifesting more pain. If I said to you, how are you feeling today? You're saying, I'm getting better every day. I then know that I need to give you healing, that I need to give you some degree of sympathy for the fact that you're not 100%. But every time you say, I'm feeling lousy, I feel, you know, the pain's there, we manifest it. And that's quantum physics. That is not anything psychic. This is something that we've known for a long, long time. That what we think, we like a snowball, we roll it and we get more of the same thing that we're thinking. So think health, and it will leave the body. And do some healing through yourself every day. Do you meditate at all?
I try to.
Do you try to because you concentrate on it?
I think so.
Okay, quit concentrating. Get some music that you really like, or if, in actual fact, you find it difficult in the beginning to meditate, then maybe send for a good meditation tape. You contact us. We'll try to find you something good that will work with you, that will help you heal your body. We have some that goes through the body and helps to heal, but even just a tape that takes you on a nice walk so that you keep your mind off, oh, my goodness, I need to peel the potatoes. Oh, wait a minute. Now I'm hesitant. I'm supposed to be meditating now, you know? And so you sit there. And next thing you know, you think, oh, I didn't phone Susan. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
so
I do.
You need something that amuses the subconscious mind and the conscious mind. And the subconscious mind will then start developing what you're telling it and get the conscious mind out of the way. That reasonable, rationaling power that says, I got pain in my back or I got pain in my neck because I had this, 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 and this. Doesn't matter what you have. You can be pain-free by using your subconscious mind. And it doesn't have to be a truth that goes down there. Hypnosis works sometimes when we just tell the body that there isn't any pain there.
Okay.
But so, is anything else, hon?
Nope, nothing I can think of. You've done fantastic. I appreciate your help.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Washington State.
Oh, wonderful. We're just kind of adding a few things here. Email us occasionally, maybe either at bbs.com or email us at chapelinnergarden.com.
Okay, will do.
And just let us know how you're going and give us a call and pass on the word about what's going on here and that we're trying to help people on the Inner Garden Online Chapel.
All righty. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you for calling, honey.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Right.
That was wonderful to get another phone call, just that we're touching everywhere in the States and we're touching everywhere in Canada. One of these days we're going to get an international one, and I'm going to fall off my chair here because I've never had that happen before. I'd like to thank everybody. Would you like to just join me in a prayer of closing? And also, when we're doing these prayers and that we're doing the healing prayers and whatnot, think about the people that you have that need it. Okay? Are we ready to go?
Hello?
Is there someone out there? Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Maryland.
Are you?
Yes.
I must have been psychic or something. I'm just saying, I haven't had an international call and then you phone.
Oh.
Isn't that something else? Can I give you a really quick little mini reading here?
That'd be great. Thank you.
Okay. Did you want a direct question so that we, because we'll be off in about 5 minutes, I think.
I'm just trying to do some healing, get my life in order. So the big thing
is don't just try. Okay. Just send that thought that I am going to be healed with whatever it is that I need healing for. Take it to the universe, to God, whatever name that you call that source, and bring that energy through yourself. And it's just like I was talking to the last lady. I said, you have to manifest health and not embrace the illness. And then I think you're going to be doing a lot of work with other people as well. Does that make sense?
Okay. Well, I'm going to be looking for work here probably within, say, a month or so. So
yeah. And I do feel that what you really need going on in your life is to find something that you really love to do. Now, sometimes we have to have a day job that isn't necessarily our preference, but if you can work at what you love like I do, that would be wonderful. But if you can't, find something that you do every day that is making you feel as if you're accomplishing something in your spirit.
Okay.
Do you understand that?
Yeah. I actually, I made myself a meditation tape, and I've been listening to it, where I created it myself.
Good girl.
So
actually, it does work well if you do that yourself, because you hear your own inner voice talking there, because you'll be impressed by God about what to put on there. And it will be the things, your subconscious mind will tell you the things that you need to say to yourself. And that's really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And it will heal you. But the big thing is, a lot of people don't realize, you need to do it every day, just like you do your physical exercise.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing something particularly, walking or whatever, put your headset on and even hear that while you're walking.
Okay.
Or doing housework. Doesn't have to be sitting down and meditating.
Okay.
Sounds good. Because, like, housework is a real bore, is it not?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we need something to amuse the subconscious mind, right? So
okay.
Whenever you can play that tape, and the more frequently that you do that, the healthier you're going to become.
Sounds great. Call
back in. We're going to have to sign off pretty quick. I've got to do the closing prayer. You have our email address at bbsradio.com, or www.innergarden.com if you want to reach our webpage. Okay?
Great. Thank you.
And send me an email at thechapel@innergarden.com.
Okay. Sounds great. Thank
okay,
you so much.
Thanks so much for calling.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, thank you so much for the universe giving me a little information ahead of time, because that was someone calling from England, so that was really wonderful. And just goes to show you how much the Internet is out there and helping us. So we thank you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to speak today to all these people and to bring this message through the Internet. We ask that you impress people to contact us so that we will stay on the air and to go and find out for themselves from the chapel or synagogue or church of their choice, where their love is and where they can make their connection with their God within. And then bring them back next week
and let them join us on this Inner Garden online chapel. And just a little bit again is that Dawn at bbsradio.com. You can get a hold of him. There are places for new people that want to come online and maybe have shows. There's places for advertising. And there is a place to give a comment on whether you like the programming that is coming out. And we ask you to join us next week. And for any information on our courses, go to www.innergarden.com. Or you can even phone me, Reverend Barbara Leonard, 604-594-1565 if you're in our local area, or we will try to set you up with someone if you are looking for someone out there. And join us next week, and thank you for being with us.